Listeners, we need your help big time. You know, one of the best ways for us to make this show better is for you to give us your opinion. You know, I know you've been doing that, you know, with our weekly emails and voicemails and stuff, but tell us a little bit about yourself. Take a short 3-minute survey at playitsurvey.com. That's playitsurvey.com, and help us by sharing your opinions about the podcast and how you listen to the show in general. Tell us your opinion. And the more that we know about this, the better the show can be. And we love hearing from you. You know that. We say this all the time via email, fan mail, episodes, and everything. So please take this survey. It will take you 3 minutes. Playitsurvey.com. That's playitsurvey.com. And help us make the show even better. Take this short survey, all right? Thank you. And now let's continue with episode 546.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You are listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
Welcome to Gamer Tag Radio, episode 456. This is your host, Danny, a.k.a. Godfrey. And also joining us this week, because this is a week that we're going to be talking about the Xbox Spring Showcase. These guys went to the event. Patrick, what's up?
What's up, Danny? How you been?
Good, man. Just excited, man. I'm jealous that you guys enjoyed... Had a great time at this event, right?
We kind of missed you. We knew you'd have a lot of fun there, so we had twice as much fun for you. But yeah, shout out to Microsoft again for inviting us out there for that event. Really well organized. Phil Spencer, I think, did a great job with his lead-in last week. But yeah, I really liked the games that I played and get kind of excited for E3. You know, obviously we'll see what we saw at Spring Showcase at E3, but I think it really leaves the door open for a lot of other stuff to be announced. I mean, I think Microsoft kind of has an open floor this year, and I'm excited to hear what they have to say.
All right. And also we have Paris. Paris, what's up?
You know, when I went to San Francisco, that was my first time using the BART, which is basically the subway system for San Francisco.
Yep.
And I was excited. It was a smooth experience because I just did a one-day trip. I was in and out. So I flew in 8 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. Right there to the international airport, hopped on the BART, went to downtown San Francisco, went to the event. We met up with Mandy while we were there, had a dinner with her, and then I hopped on the BART again, went back to the airport and flew home. And dude, the subway was smooth. It was easy. I can't believe it. It's like, look, Southern California, we don't have mass transit. It's like, get in your damn car and sit in traffic. That's all we get. So I felt special. That was awesome. But like Patrick said, thank you to Microsoft for inviting us to the event. Everything worked out well. They were very helpful. We got all the access that we needed, except Phil Spencer. but it was a great event. And you were definitely missed there, Danny. Your name came up a few times while I was talking to various people there. So maybe next time, definitely at E3, I'm sure we'll all meet up again. We'll see some more new stuff. But I'm excited for the interviews that we have on this episode. I think we definitely got some good information out of a few people we talked to.
All right, awesome, man. I know that you guys recorded a lot of interviews for this episode. So once again, Patrick, I know we mentioned in the previous episode, what interviews, which one we have for this week, for this one?
Oh, for this one, we have an interview with Dave Lang, who's the CEO of Iron Galaxy, about Killer Instinct Season 3. They had a couple of characters on display at the event, new characters like, you know, Rash from Battletoads, the Arbiter from the Halo series, and two older returning characters, Tusk, and then besides the Arbiter and Rash, you also have two returning characters, old school from the Killer Instinct series, back from Killer Instinct 2 back in the day. So cool interview. What I was surprised to know, because I really haven't been playing Killer Instinct for a while, probably since season 1 came out, is that, you know, it's not just these four characters. There's going to be more characters in season three. You know, he wouldn't give me a rough number, as you heard in the interview, but it sounds like it could be comparable to season one, season two as well. So it's not like we could have some really cool characters, both cameos from other series and returning characters and possibly some new ones as well. So check out the interview.
And we're also talking to the Coalition about Gears of War Ultimate Edition for Windows 10. And then we also talked to Dan Greenwalt, who is the head over at Turn 10, about Forza 6 Apex on Windows 10.
Man, these guys have a jam-packed show. All right, so before we go, once again, let's give a huge thanks to our sponsors, Uber. And, you know, once again, there's a lot of gamers out there that would like to get a lot of games for this spring and also during the holidays. And I think it's important for you to get a part-time job. You know, do this on the side. Be a driver with Uber. And it's simple. Uber's a smartphone app that connects with riders and drivers. So as a driver, it will make you help you get some extra income and while driving your own car. And it's totally flexible. You don't have to quit your job. And Uber lets you make extra money on your schedule. Whenever you need to make extra money, just turn on the app and drive a few hours here and a few hours there. And that's it. Super and easy. So this is what you have to do. Very quick. Go to drivewithuber.com to sign up for free. You can do it right now on your phone while listening to the episode, Gamertag Radio. Second, answer a few basic questions about you and your car and then get approved. Start driving, and that's there to it. I told you guys, it's totally, totally easy.
And look, if you do sign up to become a driver for Uber, hell, if you was already a driver, you'd have made some money off of me the other night, me and my wife, because, you know, we went out on the town, and, you know, we got it in a little bit, and I took Uber. We did Uber. Uber's great, you know, so why not? It's an easy way to make some extra cash.
Definitely, and we have friends that are doing this on the side, too, which is cool. You know, so this is what you have to do. Sign up to Drive with Uber today to get some extra money on your own schedule. So go to drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com. Once again, drivewithuber.com. And we'll be right back after this.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR. This is a Gamertag Radio exclusive.
Hey, what's up, guys? Patrick here at Xbox's Spring Showcase out in San Francisco, California. Got a chance to check out a lot of cool games today, but I'm going to wind out the day with Killer Instinct Season 3. If you haven't played Killer Instinct yet, it's had a tremendously successful run since it launched on Xbox One. But it's also coming to Windows 10. So I'm joined by a good buddy of mine. Dave, can you introduce yourself and what you do at the company?
Sure. Dave Lang, I'm the CEO of Iron Galaxy.
So, Dave, Killer Instinct Season 3, four new characters. Break them down. Who are they? What do they bring to this table?
So the four we're showing here aren't the only four for Season 3, but yeah, there's going to be more. I haven't announced all the details yet. The first four we brought out were Rash from Battletoads. We showed him off at Gamescom for the first time. Super popular. Arbiter from the Halo series. Really fun character. Halo players will love him. We brought some of the Halo mechanics into KI in a way that makes sense for everything. We also have two old fan favorites, Kim Woo and Tusk. Tusk just announced yesterday, the first time anyone has seen them is right here.
So, I mean, obviously, I'm not much of a Killer Instinct player. You showed me the ropes. I appreciate that. But I'm a Street Fighter guy. It took me a little getting used to. But once I got into it, you know, it's really is very complex. A lot of things you don't think about. People like to button mash in fighting games a lot. That's not going to take you very far in this game at all in terms of the counter system, the mix-up system. I mean, what would you say to people who maybe have been looking at Killer Instinct and, you know, holding off? You know, what do you think makes Season 3 pop? And, like, that's the reason you have to play this game. Because now not having an Xbox is an excuse anymore.
Yeah, so first off, it's free to play. So anyone can just go download it and try it. If it's not for you, it's not for you. But we've put a lot of time and effort into making tons of great tutorials. Like you mentioned, the combo break stuff, right? Like that seems, when you first do it, it's like so daunting. It's like, oh, I have to know which one to do and only on a link or not an auto double. And then shadow counters are different. So we have a tutorial that just does that for you, right? So you can kind of get in there with a big, really good beginning characters like TJ Combo, Saber, Wolf, Rash, kind of learn the ropes and then find the character that's right for you. And we have a huge, diverse cast of characters now. By the time season 3 is done, it'll be you know, Combro is not greater than most fighting games in the field. So there'll be someone out there for you. We've upped the graphics for season 3. We redid the lighting, upped the resolution. There's going to be new game modes we're not quite talking about yet. Something for single player fans for sure. So there's something for everybody in there. And if you haven't checked it out, really there's no reason to. It's free to download and try.
So all those features and game modes you talk about, those are going to be available when season 3 launches?
So we haven't announced everything that's launching with Season 3, but because it's a free-to-play game, we do support it over a long period of time. So we'll be rolling a lot of the stuff out. Like, the new graphics are in there. That's day one. And that's also, if you just have Season 1, you get the free graphics for free. You have Season 2, you bought one, you bought nothing. You get that for free. It just comes with the updates, right? So not everything's monetized. Basically monetized characters, costumes, the normal stuff. But every single upgrade, when we fix matchmaking, makes matchmaking better. We make ranked play better. Everyone just gets that benefit. So...
I mean, so obviously, you know, Rash and the Arbiter, strange choices, popular franchises. How did you get involved with the teams to get these characters inside of Killer Instinct?
Yeah, well, we wanted to do season 3. We knew we wanted to do, you know, what number of characters we wanted. And we knew, looking back at the KI 1 and 2, there weren't enough to do. So we knew we had to either come up with some new originals like we did in season 2 or some crossovers. And looking, so Microsoft basically opened the vaults for us, like, hey, which ones do you think make sense? And if you think about the cast of KI, it's a lot of monsters, just a lot of weird characters. You got Saberwolf, right? You got Hasako, Argonos, you got all these kind of weird characters. And so like Arbiter and Rash fit right into that, right? Like Arbiter looks like he could be Glacius' cousin, right? So they kind of fit in from that theme. Another thing that's important for us too is like every character in KI needs a reason to creatively to exist. You know, it's not like Street Fighter where Ryu and Ken and Dan, they're kind of the same, just a couple tiny tweaks. Every character has unique mechanics, and we wanted to find you know, IPs in the Microsoft franchise where the cool, unique stuff in those games would map well into a fighting game, and I think we found them.
I mean, is that something you've now the doors have been opened, the vault doors have you opened, if you will? Are you looking at adding more guest characters in the future?
I think we've said at least one more guest is coming. Okay. More details on that will be coming down the road.
Very nice. Do you have an estimation of what the final new character count for season 3 will be?
Well, I have the actual number. I'm just not allowed to talk about it.
Not allowed to talk about it. Okay. But obviously, you know, more than 4 is all you can say.
Yeah, no, we're definitely launching. We're launching with, I don't even know if we said how many we're launching with. More than 4 for sure.
More than 4, okay.
Like, so, give you an example, like... Both season 1 and 2, depending on what package you bought, you either ended up with between 8 to 10 characters. Okay. So, you know, I'm not crazy to assume it'll be in that ballpark again.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're like, you can still purchase the characters individually. You don't have to commit to the whole package as well. Are they all the same price universally?
That's a great question. So there's a lot of ways to buy it. We have a lot of bundles. We also just did a lot of giving season away 1 for free, even games with gold. Yeah. So we're always doing sales. We're all doing stuff. So, yeah, like you can buy characters individually. You can buy them in bundles. Prices, we don't think the pricing is nailed down for this yet. But so we've never, yeah, it's a lot of options out there if you want to choose to engage that way with Killer Instinct.
Yeah, very nice. Any new stages as well coming in?
Yeah, we got 3 stages here that we're showing. Kim Woo has a stage kind of Big Trouble Little China inspired. Arbiter has a stage. Obviously, it's St. Helios from the Halo universe. And... Tusk has like kind of, so Tusk is an immortal barbarian. Yeah. So he's got kind of like a Viking themed stage, and it's really cool. There's like boats going back. They're shooting fire arrows at each other. Super rad.
Man, that's a lot to take in. It literally looks a great game. It's a lot of fun to play the new characters. I'm excited for it, even as somebody, like you said, that, you know, I have season 1 for Games for Gold, Xbox Live, really enjoying it. I am looking forward to playing it on PC because, you know, my 360 arcade stick does not work on Xbox One. I did not want to have to repurchase that. So having Windows 10 support is really big. Now, that Windows 10 community, is that going to be a separate community from the Xbox Live community?
No. So the cool thing about Windows 10 and Xbox, right, if you bought content on the Xbox One, it works on Windows 10 and vice versa. If you want to play ranked online, you could play with just players on your platform, or you could play cross-platform if you want. So online works for both. It's really an inclusive thing. We wanted to make it the community bigger, not fragmented, right? So every chance we have with the Windows 10 SKU, we're finding a way for it to interact with the Xbox One stuff, whether it's, hey, buy once, play anywhere, you know, online works for everybody. All that stuff, like fight sticks, we want to make working. Like if you have a direct input fight stick, it should work. Obviously, we haven't tested every single one of them in the world, but we haven't found one that doesn't work yet. So,
I'm excited to check it out. Killer Instinct Season 3. When can we get our hands on this?
We just announced today it's coming out. So, we're launching March 29th.
That's really soon. I'm looking forward to that. But Dave, thank you so much for taking time to talk to me. I wish you the best of luck finishing up the project, and I hope you have a great successful launch.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're back here. Patrick, I know you're a huge fighting fan.
Yes,
you know,
I am.
Street Fighter and all that stuff. So, Killer Instinct, tell us a little bit about this new Season 3 game.
Yeah, as we mentioned in the interview, so far getting four new characters. I got to try all of them out at the showcase. Really was impressed by the complexity and the depth. You know, as a Street Fighter V player, and a Street Fighter player in general, I'm used to a certain amount of moves and motions for certain characters and special moves. But the complexity I love in Killer Instinct is, you know, the countering, the shadow meter system. A lot of, you know, having to time, you know, between low, medium, and high, like counters and blocks. It's a lot of cool abilities and techniques that, you know, getting into, it's easy to pick up and play, but there's such like a level of mastery there that, you know, really impressed me, because I really haven't played that much Killer Instinct throughout the years, but I've always liked jumping in and having a quick amount of fun playing the games. But I can now, yeah, I think, you know, now Season 3 is going to be available on Windows 10. I can plug in my 360 arcade stick I've had for years. You know, I'm actually excited to actually get into Killer Instinct finally, you know, seriously, and start, like, you know, really learning how to play versus, you know, casually playing as I have for years now. So it's really cool just to have, you know, access to larger, greater fighting games, because this, you know, really helps the fighting game community when you have these big, you know, games like Killer Instinct and like Street Fighter and like Tekken, things like that. And I really liked what I've seen so far. So shout out to Dave at Iron Galaxy for showing me the new characters, showing me the new systems, teaching me a little bit how to play Killer Instinct. But, you know, so far it's got me really excited. I really want to pick up this full experience and play some Killer Instinct online with some of our fans. You know, I'm sure that we have a lot of Killer Instinct fans out there. I'd love to hook up with you guys. But it's exciting that we're going to get this on Windows 10 now. Not that many fighting games, you know, on Windows. And now, you know, with Street Fighter V came out, now we have Killer Instinct Season 3. I kind of hope this trend continues, because it's great. You know, I already have the PC plugged up. You plug it in your arcade stick you want from, you know, PS3, 360. It doesn't really matter, like it does with the, you know, home video game consoles. So I'm loving
and
it.
You're set after that.
You're ready to go, man. Yep. You just got to find people to play. It's the tough part, you know. You can't scare people off when you're too good at fighting games. That's why I like Killer Instinct, is, you know, most people that go into it, you know, they have to learn the game on the fly. So, you know, it's a lot of fun to play with your buddies.
Well, you know, since we're talking fighting games and versus, I think it's about time we talk about our sponsor, Loot Crate. Now, you might ask yourself, what is Loot Crate? Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. The theme this month for Loot Crate is versus, celebrating some of the greatest rivalries in pop culture. Batman versus Superman, the movie's coming out at the end of the month. Alien versus Predator. Spock versus bad Spock. Remember that episode where it's, you know, Spock had the beard and all that and he was evil? That was crazy. Harley Quinn versus everybody because she's crazy. Daredevil versus the Punisher. Poston versus me. I don't know anything. You know, this is everyone's fighting everybody. It's a crazy thing, but
no one's safe.
Yeah, nobody's safe. But Loot Crate, you know, for less than $20 a month, you're going to get 4 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. to subscribe and receive this month's crate. When the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. So make sure you head over to lootcrate.com/gamertag and enter our code gamertag, and you're going to save $3 off any new subscription. Again, Loot Crate ships to over 27 countries. You can go to their website, lootcrate.com, for more information on that. Loot Crate is more than just a subscription service. It's an entire community of fans that share their experience and interact with each other, unboxing each month's crate. Loot Crate guarantees $40+ in value in every crate. Sometimes it's a lot more. You know, next time it's Pete on here, we'll definitely have to get him in to talk about that, because I know he's doing the Loot Crate stuff all the time, and I've seen some crazy things. But, you know, just from what I've seen on social media, previous crates have included things from Star Wars, Marvel, The Walking Dead, Legend of Zelda, everything. It's amazing. So again, I'm signing up for Loot Crate, so I suggest you guys do it too. So remember, go over to lootcrate.com/gamertag and enter our code gamertag to save $3 off any new subscription at lootcrate.com/gamertag.
All right, so I think it is perfect time for us to play the next interview.
I had the pleasure to talk to Dan Greenwalt, who is the creative lead over at Turn 10 Studios for the Forza franchise. He's been there since day one. And when you hear the interview, you can hear my enthusiasm, because I admit I got a little nervous a little bit, because, you know, this is someone I've been wanting to talk to for a long time. So I got a little excited about it. But, you know, he talked about Forza 6 Apex coming to Windows 10, why it's on Windows 10, and where Forza is going in the future. So let's just go ahead and play an interview now, and then we'll talk a little bit more after the interview.
This is a Gamertag Radio exclusive.
Paris, I'm here at the Xbox Spring Showcase, and I just got finished seeing a demo for Forza 6 Apex on Windows 10. And who better to get than the source for Turn 10? Can you please introduce yourself?
I'm Dan Greenewalt. I'm the creative director at Turn 10. And yeah, I kind of work on all of this right now.
Now, I have to say on a personal note, this is an honor for me. I mean, I've been doing this gaming thing for a while, and I've been playing Forza since day one.
Oh, thank you.
On the original Xbox.
So thank you very much.
Never got a chance to talk to you, so I'm very excited to be able to have a chance to talk about this game. So tell me a little bit about Forza 6 Apex. Why are we going on Windows 10 with this?
Well, you know, Forza has become kind of a stalwart franchise on the Xbox. And as you heard Phil say, actually, at the start of this whole thing, there's a deep commitment at Microsoft to bringing games to Windows 10 and to bring the style of gaming that you're used to on the Xbox to Windows 10. And we're in the forefront of that. So we're bringing our engine, the Forza Tech engine, to Xbox. And really, that's about first party. That was about making an experience that would showcase DirectX 12 and showcase what UWP could do. But also, we can actually make those platforms better. Better for gamers, better for developers, to make racing better on Windows 10 and Xbox. Now, part of this also is bringing the console ethos to the PC while maintaining the PC ethos. So console, you expect it to just work. Right. And you get great usability, you get great graphics, you get great bang for your buck for your hardware. On the PC, you want more options, you want more tuning, you want more modding. So what we're doing now is experimenting with Forza Motorsport 6 Apex, bringing it to this customer base for free, and we're going to start evolving and changing and iterating, and then the Forza Tech engine, now on DirectX 12, will underpin all of our future titles moving forward. So this represents step one in a long-term commitment to Windows 10.
Now, that was 4K that I saw the game in, correct?
Oh, yeah. It looks great, huh?
Yeah, yeah. It looked fantastic. So, looking through some of the menus as he was going through the demo, I noticed Drivatars were there. So, are we bringing over our Drivatars from some of the Forza games on the Xbox One into this Windows 10?
Yeah. So, this is a live-enabled title. So, that means it's got achievements, it's got game clips, it's got all the things that are great about Xbox Live on Windows 10. But also, it's a cloud-enabled title. So, that allows us to have Drivatar. We can have liveries that come over from Forza Motorsport 6 servers into this. We have a lot of different aspects that are coming through the game. So, yes, Drivatar starts off from the cloud, and then as you play Forza Motorsport 6 Apex, you'll start tuning an Apex-specific profile for your Drivatar.
Gotcha.
So it's a cloud-based technology, but it has nodes and tiers underneath, so we can segment data on and off based on who's playing where.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that it's going to be free on Windows 10, which is amazing. How many cars can we expect in the game? How many tracks can we expect in the game?
So this is the cool part as a designer. Forza Motorsport 6 is huge, right? Hundreds and hundreds of cars. We've got 26 environments, I believe. And really, the game is so big with so many modes and so many different ways to play. Our expectation is the gamer goes and finds where they want to play. Do you want to play in free play? Great. You want to play split screen? Great. But you choose it. You choose the cars, you choose the tracks. This was a chance for our designers to make these really custom, cool events that would bring new players into Forza, new players into car culture. So we picked out, hand-picked 60 cars, over 60 cars. We hand-picked 6 environments that include a lot of night and rain, and that's over 20 different ribbons that we could then build these custom experiences and then put a video on the front that was custom made from with narrator from Matt Farah from Smoking Tire or James May, Richard Hammond, different automotive celebrities. Mm-hmm. So it means every one of these events is custom made to kind of bring you into the fold to say, hey, brother, you should come be part of the Forza faithful.
Right.
We love cars. Be with us. We're going to take you on a tour to great locations and great experiences.
So this being, like you said, this is an experiment. So I play Forza 6 on the Xbox One all the time. I have a Logitech, I believe it's the G29 specific for the Xbox One. So I'm assuming I should be able to plug and play that right onto the PC since it is PC enabled. But what about other PC wheels?
Well, so that's a great place to start. So wheels are a huge part of the racing game ecosystem, and we really value that players want to be able to not only play their Xbox wheels on Apex, they're going to want to play their PC wheels. That's right. A big part of PC racing in general. But part of Apex is making the UWP platform the best platform for racing gamers and racing developers. So we're using our code base and our knowledge of racing to get all of the wheels working in Apex and working right. So we're going to be updating as new wheels come online into the UWP platform and making them better and better and better. So right now, you're going to play with controller, you're going to play with keyboard, you're going to play with mouse, and it's a great experience. But as we keep updating, there's going to be more and more wheels coming online, and moreover, they're going to come on in a great way, an endemic way, a way that really works well with UWP and makes it so that other racing game developers have an easier path of bringing great wheel support into their games on UWP.
Okay, final question. It's a multi-part question. Any features from Forza 6 and Xbox One not going to make it to Apex? What can we expect with the Forza franchise moving forward as far as being on Xbox One and on Windows 10? Mm-hmm. And finally, when can we expect to get our hands on Forza Apex?
Well, I'm going to handle those backwards. So Forza Motorsport 6 Apex will be available in spring. We're not announcing an official day. It'll be free in the Windows 10 store. As far as... I forgot the second part.
No. Okay. What I was saying was Forza 6, any features not going to make it
right
over to Apex. And so, then the second part of that one was, franchise head as far as Xbox One and Windows 10 support?
So this is the first step in our franchise. So that means that moving forward, all of our games are going to be on Xbox One and on Windows 10. And it's because the Forza Tech engine is now on DirectX 12. Forza Motorsport 6 was on DirectX 11X. We moved it to DirectX 12 and UWP, and now we're going to move it back to DirectX 12X so that that engine can move forward and take all the advantage of DirectX 12, be it on Xbox One or on PC moving forward. Now, as far as the features that are in Forza Motorsport 6 on Xbox One that are not or are present in Apex, we actually turned this into a challenge for the designers to say, look, you've got all of Forza Motorsport 6 to choose from. Where do you want to start to bring new players into our experience? What do you want to do? And they handpicked the cars, the tracks, and the modes. So Drivatars show up this way, paint jobs show up that way. It does not feature multiplayer, but it features these leaderboards, so you get asynchronous competition. So we think of it less like it's Motorsport 6 without this and this and that, and more like this is an experience we could custom and hand create to bring people into our tribe.
Well, Dan, thank you. This has been an honor. I really appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk to me about this game.
Absolutely. It's been great. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right. So we're back. And thanks, guys, for the interview, man. It was great, man. And I'm a huge fan of Forza, man. So this is awesome that this game is now going to be available also for Windows 10. So that's a great thing, man.
Yeah. Opinion. See, again, that goes back to the theme. They're treating and the big thing about Forza 6 Apex, which we didn't mention previously, but we talked about a little bit in the interview, it's free. It ain't mm-hmm. charging you nothing. They're going to give you 60 cars. You're going to get over 20 tracks, you know, that's going to be available on the game. It's going to be on Windows 10 this spring. You know, they're using this engine because it's going to be DirectX 12. They showed us a 4K version of it at the event, and this is the experiment. So moving forward, all Forza games, if you guys didn't catch that during the interview, all Forza games moving forward will be on Xbox One and they will be on Windows 10. And I think that's great. Again, so like I'd even mentioned with the racing wheels, so they're going to make sure that racing wheels are compatible on the PC side as well as on the Xbox One side. You want to use an Xbox One controller, you can do that as well. But if you are a racing enthusiast, this Forza 6 Apex, we're not getting the multiplayer. But as far as all the single player aspects, all the tuning, all the libraries, all that stuff's going to be in there for free. I think it's a great value. Obviously, it's a great value. It's free. I mean,
and it's free, of course. Yeah.
Anything is free. But sure. I just think they didn't just like, hey, let's just throw something out there and say it's free just to say we did it. They're actually giving you pretty much a complete game for free.
Brilliant marketing, because now really you're bringing a lot of people that maybe sit on the sidelines or have already pledged allegiance to other racing franchises out there, never really tried Forza at all. Now you have really no excuse to try it out for yourself. And I got to play a little bit of one of the Porsche expansions to Forza 6. Crazy story, I actually got to try out, they had one of those full-on car setup wheels with the mounted frame, the steering wheel, the pedals, the clutch, the three monitor system that goes around, the whole thing moves as you're turning the car. Man, I was so bad at driving. I felt like I was 14 years old again. It was like the most white knuckle intense thing, because they had tuned the, you can go in and tune all the settings, you know, in Forza. You can change the driving assist system. You can turn off automatic braking. You can make it so like your tires heat up and spin out. Like a lot of the realism you want, you can have that, or you can tune it all back. Just have a casual, fun, relaxing experience. I'm really impressed by this Apex system. Obviously, seeing Forza in 4K for the first time is incredible. A very good reason, too, to probably hop on that bandwagon sometime this year, because that game looks incredibly good in motion. But just going to be fun to, you know, jump into a Forza 6 experience, knowing, as Paris said, that, you know, it's going to be supported in the long term on the Windows 10 platform. So, you know, like, you know, where you, Danny, you're a hardcore fan of Forza, and you've been playing it for years. You know, I've been kidding kind of more or less on the outside. I kind of played Horizon 2 a little bit. I love that Fast and the Furious free DLC they had last year. Very smart marketing move on their part.
Yeah.
I think it's continuing that brand of thinking of just like, you know, this is how you get new people to try your experience. Because I feel like a lot of people maybe thought that Forza was too intimidating viewing it from the outside. But I think once you try it and realize you can change a lot of settings, you know, it doesn't have to be like Gran Turismo if you want it to be. You can dial it back to Need for Speed territory and everything in between. That's why Forza is so popular, is the options it gives you as the user to have as much fun or as much realism as you want. So I'm pumped. I can't wait to start racing. It's actually getting me in thinking about, like, I should probably get one of these wheels. Because, you know, once you've used that, for me, it's kind of hard, got hard to go back to the controller. So I like Patrick,
when I did the review last year, once you go with that Logitech G29,
game over.
I understand it now. Now that I have the context of trying it, I completely understand you now. Yep.
Yeah, you're not going back. And see, and that's the other beauty is they're bringing the Drivatars are going to be in Forza 6 Apex as well. So like Danny, technically, yes, I can race against you in Forza 6 Apex because your Drivatar will come into the Apex game. But once it's in the Apex game, it will adapt to Apex. You won't just drive, you know, like I'm sure you're a terrible driver in Forza 6 as it is now.
No, I'm not. I will crash you. But go keep on.
But it was funny, even in the demo they were showing us, guy was racing through and you saw some Drivatars in there and they were being pretty aggressive. They were bumping into people, trying to, you know, get in position and all kind of stuff. So again, if you're a racing enthusiast and you love Forza on the Xbox One, they're giving you the same experience on Windows 10. And moving forward, again, it's one game across all platforms. So it's great.
I mean, we're going to be playing now The Last Interview, which I am so curious about this because, you know, we received these codes early of the Gears of War, right? For Windows 10?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Paris was like super, super excited playing this game at the event, because of the whole 4K experience, which I'm very curious about that. So we're going to play this interview right now, and then we're going to come back and talk some more about it.
This is a Gamertag Radio exclusive.
Hey, this is Paris, and I'm here with Patrick, and we're at the Xbox Spring Showcase, and we just got finished playing Gears of War Ultimate Edition on Windows 10, and we got somebody to talk about it. So can you please introduce yourself?
Hey, I'm Cam McRae. I'm the tech director for Win10 at the Coalition.
Hey, thank you for joining us. Now, I got a chance to play the 4K version. Patrick, you played the 1440p version?
Correct, yes.
Oh, yeah. Visually amazing playing it in 4K.
Yep.
And it was on a 980 Ti, I believe, and we're doing 16 gigs of RAM as well.
That's right.
So talk about some of the technical challenges that you've had bringing this Ultimate Edition to Windows 10.
Oh, sure, yeah. So the game obviously launched on Xbox One August, I think.
Yeah.
And we've been hard at work since then, not just porting, but building and rebuilding for PC. So we switched to DirectX 12 rendering, full DirectX 12. And part of that was switching to multi-CPU rendering. So we'll utilize all the CPUs on your system to build up all our command lists to render on the screen as fast as we can. And then another big challenge was also taking some of the Xbox-specific features and figuring out how to make them work on PC. So on Xbox, we have unified memory, we have hardware texture decompression, we have hardware audio decompression. We don't have any of that on PC, so we move a lot of those to the CPU. So we've been optimizing heavily just to make sure that the game, one, can play at 4K at great frame rates, but also can scale down and play on older hardware at still at a great frame rate. So our min-spec calls for a 650 Ti from NVIDIA. We'll scale lower than that. What our min-spec is the game looks like what you played. It looks great. It plays great. We hold a steady frame rate. But if you have older hardware, the game's going to scale and run on that older hardware as well. We work really hard on that. We go on eBay and we buy $300 computers so we can see, how does the game run on an Athlon with 2 cores and 4 gigs of RAM? Oh, it still runs. Not the best, but it still runs, which is really important to us. And one of the big things, obviously, is 4K. So what we've done on the PC is not just brought you 4K resolution, but we've also made sure we have 4K textures. So all of the world textures, the character textures, are true 4K textures. And we were talking a little bit while you're playing. One of the big differences in terms of the load that we have to deal with is on the Xbox, when you load into prison, Marcus is in his cell, we've loaded 400 megs of textures. If you're playing 4K, when you load in that same scene, we've loaded 1.2 gigs of textures. And then as you play through the prison, we'll stream through 5 gigs more or 6 gigs more of textures. And that just, the number goes up based on the environment that you're in. Once you move to Embry, which is the next level, we'll easily go through 10 gigs of textures. So a lot of bandwidth, a lot of GPU VRAM needed, because we've also up-resed all the geo in the world. So more vertices everywhere, 10 to 30% more vertices. Characters are double. And we've done just a lot of optimization work for PC to make sure that it looks and plays great. We do unclamp frame rates. So if you have a 144Hz monitor and you want to play online 144Hz, we'll support you. And you, it is amazing. I can't even tell you how good it is. Yeah. It's so smooth. It's silky smooth. And I definitely recommend it for those players out there who want to get a little bit of a competitive edge for maybe playing someone at 30 or 60 frames a second. Oh, I tell you, 144 is outstanding.
Very cool. So obviously what we play was a little bit of Act 1, the beginning of the game. You have the large outdoor open areas, a little bit interior as well. Yeah. Now, obviously, a little bit later in the game, you get into like nighttime segments, specifically the act where you're stuck outside and you have to find follow light sources. And later on, the end of the game, in the last act, you're on the train.
Yeah.
I can imagine, like at 4K, did y'all run any limitations or issues with lighting and, you know, volumetric smoke? And I noticed a lot of effects that I didn't see, so, even in the Ultimate Edition on last year.
Yeah, so one of the big changes we made in this game is we've completely upgraded the rendering engine. So it's a 12-year-old game, yeah, but it's actually rendering is ripped out and redone. We took a lot of bits from newer versions of UE3, and we moved some parts from UE4.
Mm-hmm.
So we do physically based rendering now. We use light mass for global illumination and nicer baked lights.
Mm-hmm.
We do screen space reflections. And what that gives us is much cleaner lighting and much cleaner shadows. We have new ambient occlusion in the game. We use horizon-based AO. And if you look at the game in terms of how everything blends together, it blends a lot nicer. We use HDR lighting all the way through the pipeline.
Yeah.
So we keep everything in HDR and then use filmic tone mapping to get it to what you see on screen so that the darkers still pop nicely and the lighter, the bright areas still have all the right detail.
Yeah.
So in the environments you're talking about, yeah, everything looks great because of all the rendering improvements we made there.
Everybody and their moms played Gears forever, so we don't even need to get into the specifics of the game. Yeah, so yeah, moms love Gears of War. But what about, since this is on Windows 10, are we going to see any cross-platform saves with Xbox One, or is it a complete and separate title?
Great question. For Gears, no. Gears is going to be a unique game, so you'll get all unique gamer score. It's a Windows 10 save only. One of the things we are doing for our patient fans, all of the content, all the skins from Xbox, you will get with the Windows 10 version for free, so you don't have to pay extra for it. So basically all the DLC that we had on X1 is packaged in with Windows 10.
Okay. Trying to think what else with Windows 10-wise that could be missing. So we got the 4K. No, actually, I think this is a pretty important question. So with people, just the average person, like you said, you were grabbing $300 PCs, making sure that they worked. If I'm an average PC gamer and I want to run this at 1080p 60 frames per second, that's kind of just the kind of minimum standard I would imagine. What type of system should people be looking for?
We're recommending the 970 for that, and 8 gigs of RAM, and an i5, an i7 definitely. The game is actually a little bit more CPU bound than GPU bound. So we're not super limited by GPU. We're a little bit more on the CPU side. So the more cores or the faster cores you have, the better.
Okay.
Yeah. I hope the question is, when does the game launch?
Yeah, got it. Wait, I want to ask that too. But first off, you know, obviously the multiplayer is a huge component of Gears of War 1. You know, one of my favorite multiplayer modes ever. I've been playing it religiously on Xbox One for a long time now. When I'm playing this on PC, am I just being playing with under Windows 10 players of Gears of War, or are you sharing the community with Xbox Live?
No, it's Windows 10 only.
Okay, so just Windows 10 only, and you have the, obviously you have the Xbox controller support and mouse keyboard support.
Xbox
as well.
Xbox controller, mouse and keyboard, dedicated servers.
Mm-hmm. Do y'all allow third-party controllers or only Microsoft Xbox controllers?
Well, I think it's Microsoft Xbox controllers, but that's actually part of the platform, not really the game. We will let you play with whatever the platform will allow.
Gotcha. Okay. Very cool.
We also do LAN, if you want to play LAN with your friends. We support that as well.
Actually, that's pretty big deal.
What about split screen?
No split screen on PC.
Okay.
The platform itself doesn't do split screen because you don't have differing users.
Okay.
But you can get two PCs side by side.
Yes. That's the best way to do it.
You don't want to split screen on the same PC. Well, maybe.
And just final question, when can people expect this to come out on Windows 10?
March 1st.
March 1st.
Next Tuesday.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, actually, when people are hearing this, it's all here on March 1st.
This version you play right here is the final version that we are shipping in the store.
Oh, and I guess I have to say, just on one side note, you know, but the fact that I was playing in 4K and it was on a single 980 Ti, I mean, I know you mentioned before the frame rate was probably between 30 and 50.
That's right, yep. And we are hard at work to support multi-GPU as well in this game. So we're expecting a patch to ship within the first month. We're working with the driver teams from all the different IHVs, the hardware vendors, to bring SLI and Crossfire support to the game.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for your time. We really appreciate you talking about the game. I'm excited for it. I can't wait till it comes out.
Thank you. Yeah.
Right. Awesome.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're back here. 4K, please tell me about that.
Okay, so here's the thing. So we're at the event, and, you know, Josh, who does PR for Gears, you know, we know him. So it's like, hey, what's up, Harris, blah, blah, blah. And we're sitting there, and, you know, he was like, hey, you want to play Gears? So we're sitting down, and I'm looking. I'm like, well, goddamn, this game looks good. What is this? And he was like, yeah, this is the 4K version. And you were pulling it up, showing it running a 980 Ti, and was explaining that it was going between 30 and 50 frames per second. Dude, it looked freaking great, which immediately got me thinking. I was like, well, I got a 980 at home. I virtually had the same setup. I have a 980 Super Clock versus a Ti, so it's a little step below. But I got the game at home, man. And I've been playing it in 4K, and yeah, it's not 60 frames per second. It's somewhere between 30 and 60, but it's been great. It's a fantastic little game. It pulled me right back into wanting to play Gears again. I can tell you that. Control wise, with Xbox One controller, a lot of fun. Again, it's Gears. I mean, there's only so much we can say at this point. It's the original Gears of War, so you guys already know how it plays, what it looks like. But just visually, you can tell a lot of love and tender care has been put into this by the Coalition for the Windows 10 version. It looks fantastic. But going back to the interview, and this actually ties into an email, which I won't read the whole email. I'll just give the quick cliff notes of it. This came from Ryan King, and it's simply titled, Windows 10 Store Sucks for Games. Please read important. And, okay. And what he's going into is that you get a game off the Windows 10 store, and I got to experience that, obviously, since that's how I was able to download it here at home. It's not treated like a game that you get from Steam or that you get from Origin or even GOG. It's like an app. Like, even when you download it, it's an app. And it's funny because I keep my games on a separate drive than where I keep like my main operating system stuff and just normal programs. So I actually had to learn in Windows 10 where you change the download location for Windows apps so I could put it on my game drive. But it is considered an app. And the biggest issue, which he talked about during the interview, was the fact there's no SLI support right now, no SLI Crossfire support. VSync is always on. You know, the files are in a protected. So it's not like you could get into the whole mod scene with this stuff. So this is something that Microsoft is definitely going to have to clean up moving forward with their gaming initiative. Look, I know they want to tie Xbox Live and all this kind of stuff, but if you lock down the games on a PC, people will revolt against that immediately. So hopefully this is just early days with this stuff, and they mentioned a patch is coming out on Gears of War Ultimate Edition, which also was interesting, the fact that this version of Gears of War won't be just universal across Xbox One and Windows 10. It is unique to Windows 10, so you won't get the achievements and everything. So if you've played Gears already on Xbox One, I'm talking the Ultimate Edition, those achievements and saves and all that don't carry across to the Windows 10 version. But they basically got the wink and the nod and smile that, you know, when Gears 4 and all that kind of stuff comes out, we'll see that type of support, which even going back to Forza, he was mentioning that Forza is going to have that type of functionality as well moving forward. But I'm cautious with the Windows 10 store, because like even when I played Rise of the Tomb Raider, like I haven't downloaded it on the web, but it's the same scenario. It's a Windows 10 store download versus being able to get it through Steam or just install it on its own and those type of things. It's tied into that Windows 10 store. And right now I don't like the Windows 10 store at all. So hopefully I'm hoping and praying, whether it be GDC or E3, Microsoft has a plan for this Windows 10 store moving forward, because if they start putting Forza Horizon 3 or Gears 4 and the Halo Wars 2 and these type of things, these new games on Windows 10, and they're expecting people to play them on Windows 10, I don't want it locked into this current Windows 10 store. It's not going to be acceptable.
Well, let me be hypothetical for a quick session here, then, Paris. So, like, I can obviously understand some of the issues they have Windows 10 in terms of, like, not having it SLI or Crossfire support, you know, Virtual Sync always being on. So, obviously, bugs. But I was reading and thinking about it in the terms of, like, they don't allow you to mod right now. You really think long-term, if they didn't allow you to mod, that would hurt them negatively? Because I'm thinking right now about all the games we know that are coming to Windows 10 and coming to Xbox, and none of them are the games I would want to mod. They're all the type of games I just want to play the version the developer intended, or a multiplayer game where I wouldn't want to do that to begin with. So it's not like, you know, it's not like Bethesda. It's not like Skyrim or Fallout where these mass, large open worlds that you can create new content for. Most of the games that I'm excited for, the most ones I can think of for the most part, and correct me if I'm wrong, you guys think of any other game that contradicts this, but all the games I'm excited for this year and next year on Windows 10 are not the kind of games I don't mod for. So, like, would you be upset, Paris, if they never allowed modding on the Windows 10 store?
Yes, I 100% would, okay. Because that's part of the freedom of being a PC gamer. It's the mod scene, right? Game I can think
you don't
of right
think the
this
Steam Workshop is a unique aspect of the Steam platform. I get what you're saying is modding has been a long-term institution for PC gaming. But, like, is it really that bad that one of the services choose not to participate in that?
But again, this is why I want Microsoft games on Steam.
Okay.
You know, and again, I'm just talking for me. I mean, you know,
yeah. I'm curious if the fans have disagree with me on this one, but I was just thinking while you were talking, you know, Quantum Break, I don't want to mod that. You know, Scalebound, I don't want to mod that. Crackdown 3, I don't really want to mod that. It's kind of
that's you're getting into that. That's what I was going to bring up. Scalebound, Crackdown 3, Halo Wars 2. I would like to see mods on those. Okay. I would on the PC side. I would like to
more
see mods. You know,
more Crackdown.
We're talking Forza at this point. And again, I know with the cloud servers and all that, maybe that's part of the limitation. But you're telling me Forza 7, we can't get mods in there, so we can get, you know, these different types of tracks and all that. Like a track editor in Forza 7 on the PC, fantastic, right? But who wouldn't want that?
Well, yeah, but like that would be better as a built-in feature of the game than having to be an exterior mod that has to be added in by the modding community.
But it's the option. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I'm saying, like, yeah, like if you can build it into the gameplay, yeah. But I was referring more to the Steam Workshop idea where you're literally loading in outside assets into games, like Left 4 Dead 2, where you're literally replacing entire models, sound effects, all that kind of stuff. That's the kind of stuff
Think of it this way. This is the way I'm thinking of it. Okay. We won't make this too long. I'll make this short. Think Portal 2, right? Steam Workshop. Some of the most fascinating puzzles and stories and scenarios to come out of Portal 2 are directly from the community, mm-hmm. and they're using Valve-supported assets. So what I'm saying is, Microsoft, give us a playground, give us a tool set of supported assets, and let us mod away. That's all I'm saying. Okay. I'm not saying introduce things to the game that's going to break something or screw something up. But if you give us a tool set and you say, here you go, kids, go for it, be creative, give us new content. That's what the PC is all about. So I want that option to be there. So again, I'll bring Crackdown 3 into the scenario. Could you imagine user created cities that we get to put our characters in and have that playground to run around in, do a multiplayer or a co-op or whatever?
And I think you could share that too for those that don't have the PC, and you could download those to play on the Xbox.
No, screw you, Emerald Console. Hey, people. You don't get nothing.
Let me live. I don't have a PC. Let me live.
Those textures are but you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
No, I know what you're saying.
But they're going to be doing that for like games like Doom, which is.
Games like Doom, where like you have the built-in, you know, the snap map feature, like the built-in tools. Great idea. 100% on board with it. I'm just not sure. Because, you know, with this, you know, referring to the Source engine, like with Portal, that's brilliant. Because that was Valve's play at basically making one engine, putting all of our games inside of it and allowing the modding community to all interact with that one engine. Now, I don't obviously work at Microsoft. I don't know the development cycle from these first party games, but I imagine there are a cornucopia of different engines running these games. So I'm not sure if it's viable for them to go in and spend the time, money, and effort to make those tools available to consumers versus the traditional method of DLC, which makes them money. So I'm just thinking from that business point of view, I would understand why they would not allow this. But again, that would put them in direct conflict against Steam, again, giving Steam another checkbox in, you know, their column. So again, then it becomes, you know, you're having to pick sides and, you know, be like, oh, well, if I want to play this game, I have to go through Windows 10. You know, Steam is not an option for some of that stuff. And obviously, because we now have, you know, GOG, Origin, you know, these they keep adding up, if you will, because they keep splintering, because everybody wants a piece of that pie, let's be honest. You know, they don't want Steam to have all of that to themselves. So I'll be curious to know what their final message is in terms of how this whole stuff is going to work out, and you know, how much of this, you know, as you're, you listed the guy who sent in the email, how much of that is bugs versus how much of that is they sat around a table and decided this stuff already. And we'll see if in public outcry will change that.
Give it time. Give it time. Yeah, just send your feedback. Curious. I think based on feedback, you can make changes and everything. So, all right. So we're going to listen to audio review of two games, right, Patrick?
Yep. First one is a new expansion to Dying Light called The Following, and the other one is Street Fighter V.
All right, so we'll be right back.
Hey, what's up, GTR? Patrick here, aka Paulston J, and I got a new review for you guys this week. This week, we're finally reviewing Street Fighter V for the PlayStation 4 and PC. Now, as you guys I'm sure know, I'm a huge Street Fighter fan, and I've been talking a lot about Street Fighter V ever since it came out last month. But I held off on reviewing it because I wanted to give Capcom time to address some of the glaring online issues the game has had since launch. Now that said, I think it's been more than enough time, so now it's time to pass final judgment on Street Fighter V. So first things first, from a gameplay perspective, Street Fighter V is one of the most fun fighting games I have ever played, and I am including the other Street Fighters in that category as well. And not just because it's an easy to pick up and play game and hard to master, which has always been indicative of the Street Fighter series. I love this game because it's such a distinctive departure from Street Fighter 4, which is an incredibly popular game. I love that game tremendously. But Street Fighter 4 was predominantly a defensive-based zoning game built around competitive play, so it was very unforgiving to new players to get into it. Great game, don't get me wrong, but Street Fighter 5 changes things up by basically switching styles from defensive-based to now Street Fighter V is a more aggressive, rushdown-based game where your goal more is to get in your opponent into the corner, get into their head, mix them up, stun-lock them, and then take them out. You know, it's a very, you know, white-knuckle, adrenaline-pumping game. So it's incredibly fun. And you have, this time around, 16 characters. So we've definitely toned it back from the very large roster that Street Fighter 4 Ultimate ended up having at the end of its life cycle. So now we're back down to 16. You know, for some people, that's a deal breaker. They don't like having such a small amount of characters. But I think each character in Street Fighter 5 is very well designed, both newcomers and returning characters alike. So let's talk characters. You know, as I said, 16. So you have obviously returning fan favorites like Ryu, Ken, Chun-Li, Cammy, M. Bison, Vega, Dhalsim, and Zangief. course, the World Warriors all returning. But you also have characters returning from the Alpha series as well that haven't been in a Street Fighter game for some time, such as, you know, Charlie returns, this time known as Nash. You know, Karen Kanzuki comes back. Armika comes back. Birdie is back this time around. So you have great representation from the Alpha series as well. A lot of people were clamoring for years, when are we going to get the Alpha characters in a Street Fighter, you know, a modern Street Fighter game? They're back now. And then on top of that, you have four new characters that are unique to Street Fighter V. And these are Rashid, who is basically a Middle Eastern quick fighter relying on, you know, the power of wind and hurricanes and throwing tornadoes around. You have Lara Matsuda, who actually is the older sister of Sean, who was the Brazilian fighter from Street Fighter III back in the day. Fong, who is a new member of Shadow Liu, who is a very trap-based, tricky character to use, very satisfying to pull off, though. And then Nikali, which is essentially this a grapple, aggressive-based, you know, primitive warrior character. You know, obviously he's a warrior from thousands of years ago, reincarnated to, you know, take out modern warriors. The story is there, it's just not much you're going to focus on. But that's a good transition, because let's talk about the game modes of Street Fighter V. They're very limited. Let's be honest here. There's very little content single player wise, but they have promised that content will come later on as a free download. But let's talk about what comes in the package that you have right now for your $60. So you have a story mode. And I say story mode very lightly, because it's not even a traditional arcade mode. It's essentially, you load up your character's story, you have still pictures with voices over on top of them. You fight a couple of rival matches, anywhere from literally two rival matches to four or five rival matches. Then you get an ending cutscene that's also just, you know, pictures with dialogue on top of them, and that's it. So very bare bones, very minimum. They are somewhat entertaining because, you know, they are very tongue-in-cheek and want to take themselves seriously. So they're enjoyable for that aspect. But let's be real, though. There's no arcade mode. And for a lot of people, that's a deal-breaker. Because, you know, everyone expects the fighting game to have an arcade mode. That just seems like a given. And Street Fighter V comes out and now it doesn't have one. It has a pretty bare bones story mode, for better or worse. So again, it was okay. I enjoyed playing through the stories. It's not something I definitely would ever go back to. So moving on, you also have survival mode, which is pretty self-explanatory. It's been in most fighting games that have ever come out. You compete for high scores, you know, fight until you die. But the difference in this one is if you want to unlock the colors, you have to go through survival mode. So, you know, if you don't like grinding, you're going to be kind of upset that you're limited in your color selection, only two colors until you go take your favorite character through survival mode. So, again, that's a hit or a miss thing for some people. Some people like that aspect. Some people are going to be very upset that they can't just unlock the colors naturally through playing the character as you could in the previous Street Fighter IV game. Of course, training mode returns as always. You know, it's always expected. And that's it. Seriously, for single-player content, that is it. They have said that there is going to be a cinematic story mode that's going to come as a free download later down the road. There's going to have a challenges feature returning from 4, where you have to, like, you know, basically learn how to play the character by doing certain moves and combos. You know, that's even, like, grayed out in the menu of the game, and so it comes as a free update in March. I haven't heard any update about that so far. But yeah, so in terms of a single-player game, there's really nothing here at all. So on the other side of the spectrum, let's talk multiplayer. First off, Versus is obviously in there. You can do two players on the same screen, both on PlayStation 4 and PC. This is pretty much where you're going to get the majority of your fun out of the game right now, because it's the only thing that works, let's be honest. So let's get to the meat and bones of the review here. The online mode. I talked a lot in length about how upset I was that I could never seem to find a match. So it turns out, since I've last discussed Street Fighter V on the show, I actually did find matches online finally. So something was updated on Capcom's server, but every single match I got into, by the middle of the first round or beginning of the second, it would lag out, kick me back to the menu, and disconnect me from the server. And that has happened every single time I've tried to play online. I have not been able to finish a single online match since this game came out. And let's be real, that is unacceptable. For a $60 game in 2016 to come out, and even over 2 weeks later, still the online is not working at all. that's just wrong, in my opinion. So I'm very upset about this. I don't know what Capcom is doing whatsoever. I even read the Capcom Uni blog, and they keep acting like it's working, and they keep updating with like, oh, hey, we're coming up with a new content soon. You know, how's everyone liking the balance? Oh, we're going to implement a system to, you know, to automatically ban and kick people who quit out of their matches. I'm thinking here, like, who is able to play this game online? Because it sure isn't me. And I really wish, don't get me wrong, I really wish I could. I've been dying to play this game since the day it came out, but I can't. I have to invite people over to come play it because the online is just non-existent. And, you know, for a game that has almost no single player content at all and a non-working online system, I mean, that's just, that's ridiculous. Let's be real here. So I'm upset. I'm definitely upset here that I have to sit here and, you know, bash Street Fighter V, a game that, you know, I thought would be, you know, the second coming of fighting games. Like, I really expected this game to come out of the gate and just wow people. I wanted people to, you know, buy PS4s to play this game. I thought that that marketing technique would work. But now, you know, if you're an Xbox One player, you're looking at this fiasco and you're like, wow, I'm really lucky. I didn't go buy a PS4 just for this game. And I'm like, yeah, good job. You made the good call. I'm really upset that I have to say Street Fighter V is a pass. I would not pick this game up right now. The only exception to that is if you're already a Street Fighter player, hardcore, casual, if you like playing Street Fighter, and you at least live with one other person that likes playing Street Fighter with you, then get the game. You'll have a lot of fun because the Versus works perfectly fine. I mean, there's still an amazing fighting game buried underneath all of the limited content and non-working online system. At the base core of the game, Street Fighter V is one of the most fun fighting games I have ever played, and I'm including that with the other Street Fighters as well. I mean, Street Fighter V does so many things right. So let's jump into what separates Street Fighter V from 4 real quick. So the key component of Street Fighter V's gameplay is the V-Skill and V-Trigger system. And basically what that means in layman terms is that each character has a specialized attack mapped to the medium punch and medium kick buttons if you press them together. And that depends on the characters. Like Ryu has his parry, returns from Street Fighter 3, where, you know, he basically has a one-frame reaction time where he can stop fireballs, stop attacks, and switch the combo up to, you know, turn the tables on people. Other characters like Cammy have a dedicated, you know, flip-around mechanic. Other characters have a dedicated overhead. It depends on the character, but it's really fun because it adds an extra layer of depth and complexity to the fighting system because you pretty much have to learn all 16 characters to know how to defend against the certain V skill and V trigger abilities. And as I said, the other side of that, the V trigger, is essentially like a new version of like an EX or Rage, where you press both heavies, and you punch a heavy kick at the same time. When your meter is full, you basically turn on an EX mode where you'll glow yellow a little bit, and all of your special moves will have additional properties. So like Cammy's, you know, cannon spike and cannon drill will travel much further and much faster and do more damage. And, you know, Ryu can be able to charge his fireball to do, you know, higher amounts of stun damage as well. So, you know, it's really good. It's a really fun game with a lot of complexity and depth, and each character is very unique and a lot of fun to play. But again, you know, unless you have someone, either a roommate, you know, a spouse, you know, a friend that wants to hang out every day and come play Street Fighter, again, I cannot recommend this for $60 right now with the non-working online and the bare-bones single-player content. Now, I'll definitely get back to you guys, you know, once some of these free updates start coming out, you know, this month and later on. I'll be keeping track of the game to see, you know, if they are addressing these concerns and if, you know, I can actually play an online match anytime soon. I'll get back to you guys. But for right now, pass on Street Fighter V. It is not worth your $60 until they fix the online and start adding in some of these free promised single player updates. So it kills me to say this, but yeah, Street Fighter V is a pass for right now. I'll get back to you guys if anything changes, but I am super bummed about this. So this is Patrick signing off. And I got another review for you guys for this week. This time we're talking about Dying Light's new expansion called The Following. If you don't know what Dying Light is, it was a very successful first-person shooter zombie game that came out last year from the developer Techland, who's best known for the Dead Island series. And if you listen to our Game of the Year show last year, you'll know that Dying Light was one of my absolute favorite games of 2015. And I think to date, it is still the best zombie game ever made. So a lot of the expectation for me was going into The Following. I was very excited to play it. So first off, what is The Following? The Following is a continuation directly of the end of the story
of the original Dying Light, and the character Kyle Crane travels to a new area outside the original city of Haran, the first game was set in. And this is basically a large countryside area that's twice the size of the original play area in the first Dying Light. So all off the bat, it's a huge expanse. Lots of stuff to do, lots of stuff to see, lots of zombies to kill. But it's huge. So the problem is, how do you get around it? They answer this problem by adding in a new vehicle component to the game. So very early on, you acquire basically your own little dirt buggy, very similar to what you had in Half-Life 2 about a decade ago. But this one is cool because a couple different things. First off, it can be damaged and destroyed. So generally, you don't want to run into every zombie you see because it'll literally start tearing your vehicle apart. And you do not want to be stuck in the middle of a zombie horde with a dead car. Very, very bad. But you can also upgrade it and repair it, too. So as you go through, you can collect new blueprints. You can get a better, faster engine. You can install nitrous, better brakes, better handling, things like that. It's really cool. There's also the component of whether a fuel is a limited resource. So, you know, you have a fuel gauge, and when it runs out, you basically have to ditch the car and then go basically siphon gas out of nearby parked cars out there. So it's a pretty cool mechanic of making sure that, you know, you're taking care of your car and, you know, not getting stranded in the worst place possible. Because, I mean, another neat thing about the following is it changes up a lot of the gameplay aspects from the original Dying Light. So first off, many more zombies can be on screen at the same time, both on the PC version and the console version as well. For review purposes, I was reviewing the Xbox One version. So basically, you'll have these large open expanses, and there'll literally be dozens upon dozens of zombies to the point where, like, it's almost infeasible for you to try to fight them all. You know, running usually is the better option until you're cornered. So it's really nice, you know, basically because by the end of the original Dying Light, you had become so powerful and unstoppable that, you know, nothing was a challenge. So that's really what the following does very well, is changing the gameplay enough to be challenging to veteran players, where basically you're getting almost a new experience entirely from the original Dying Light. So a couple of different things have changed from the last game, namely, like, the enemy AI has been completely retooled to be smarter, more aggressive, and then applies both to the zombies and the human enemies as well. You have new parkour moves to get around faster. There's more firearms this time. A lot of criticism in the game was that it was so melee heavily focused in the original Dying Light that guns really didn't get that much attention. So there's much more guns this time. As I said, improved AI for the enemies. You have up console performance upgrades, so like PlayStation 4 and Xbox One copies are going to run at better frame rates, higher resolutions than they did in the original Dying Light. Of course, gameplay quality improvements, that kind of stuff. You know, better audio, little things here and there that makes the whole experience just tighter, faster, runs better, just a more enjoyable experience. So the story of the following, basically, you know, why Kyle Crane is sent out to this expanse is, you know, he needs to find more Antizen, which in the Dying Light universe is basically the, not so much cure, but, you know, if you're infected by the zombie virus, it's the only medicine out there that suppresses it, prevents you from turning into them. So he has to go seek out basically this this following, if you will, in the countryside, because he hears that these people are actually immune to the virus. So he has to go discover and find out. And he finds this very secretive community with this, you know, this unknown cult in the background called the Faceless. So he needs to figure out what's going on. So he basically has to integrate himself into the community, help out, volunteer. And of course, gameplay wise, that means a lot of quests the games give you. It's pretty impressive. You know, there is a lot of content here, you know, dozens upon dozens of quests, lots of new opportunities to get XP. If you didn't finish leveling up your character in the original Dying Light, when you transfer, you'll have no shortage of opportunities to get experience points. But if you're like me and you'd already maxed out your character in the last one, they add two new skill trees to the game to make the game more enjoyable. One is a dedicated skill tree just to the driving mechanic. So that allows you to, again, you know, take tighter turns, go faster, upgrade your vehicle further, a lot of cool things that encourages you to get out and drive and earn those driving points. And then there's the legend system as well. And the legend system is a design where basically it's like a super in-game talent tree that rewards you for playing smart and not dying. Because the biggest thing here is every time you die, you lose a pretty significant amount of your legend points. And that's a
bad. You'll be very frustrated if that happens to you, because these legend points you can save up, you can actually apply them into different specialized talent trees that can either, you know, greatly increase the damage you do with unarmed combat, greatly increase the damage you do with firearms, with melee weapons, both two-handed and one-handed. You increase your stamina, you increase your health, health regeneration, you know, health efficiency, a lot of different things. 10 talent trees in total you can upgrade. And, you know, it's basically built for the long term. So, you know, this game is designed where even when you finish the story component of the aspect, you're still allowed to stay in the new area and you can keep leveling yourself and upgrading as much as you want. And it's a lot of fun. And that's just the single player component of it. The game also supports 4-player cooperative play online. You know, drop in, drop out anytime. You won't bother your buddies if you drop out midway because you got to go run off and do something. It's really well designed. It's very fun to play this game in a cooperative sense. But as I said in my Dying Light review last year, you know, the game is just as perfect as like a survival horror single player experience as it is as a more relaxed, enjoyable laugh with your friends co-op experiences too. So they really nailed making both sides of the single player and the co-op really distinctive and a lot of fun. You know, if you want to unwind from the stress of you worrying about dying in single player, you just go play with your buddies and have a good time and laugh as well. But they also added a new difficulty setting as well. Original game had a normal difficulty setting. Later in the game's life cycle, they updated it with the hard difficulty setting. And now in the following, they have a new nightmare difficulty setting. And nightmare is incredibly, incredibly difficult, as the name would imply. Where basically, you know, even though if you maxed out your character in the original game, it gave you infinite stamina. So you never, you know, you could never stop sprinting. You could never stop fighting. It became really easy to survive. Nightmare takes that away from you. So it basically puts you back almost to square one, where it makes you feel human, makes you feel vulnerable, makes you be very careful about what combat you get into, because some of the stronger enemies will literally tear you apart. And it actually makes the game even scarier than it already is. So, you know, if you're a hardcore masochist and you love that whole aspect of the game, Nightmare Mode is definitely for you. If not, stick with Normal Mode if it's your first playthrough, or if you're like me and you're transferring your character from the original game into the following, pick the hard difficulty setting. The hard difficulty setting is just balanced enough where the enemies are much more threatening. And another cool thing is, like, some of the, if you call them as you will, like 28 days later running zombies, where in the previous game they would appear as like red triangles on your map to give you heads up, like, hey, you're about to get swarmed. Now in hard mode, it doesn't have that at all. So it completely relies on, you know, audio cues of you listening to make sure you don't get jumped and ripped apart. So, all in all, Dying Light the Following is an incredibly fun experience, and, you know, it's amazing how they took such a great gameplay concept from the original Dying Light and basically pumped it up to 11 in the Following. This is really an incredibly fun game. There's a lot of depth here. There's a lot of replay value. I'm talking dozens upon dozens of hours of how much you want to put into this, because, again, this large open space in the new area is very vast. You have, you know, countryside farm areas, you have residential suburban areas, you have a little downtown city area, an area by the coast on the beach. It's huge. A lot of stuff to do, a lot of loot to explore, a lot of new legendary and epic weapons you have to go search out and find to become the best of the best. So, really like this a lot. The coolest part of this, too, is if you already own the original Dying Light, the Following's only $20. And I think that is an absolute steal for the amount of content you are getting from this experience. You'll definitely have your money's worth three times over from that. If you haven't played the Dying Light before, maybe you sold your copy and haven't come back to it yet, you can actually pick up what's called the Enhanced Edition. The Enhanced Edition is a full $60 game, but it comes with the original Dying Light, all the original Dying Light's original DLC that came with it, and the Following as well for that $60, which is a great deal if you've never played Dying Light before, because there literally are hundreds of hours of gameplay there for you to go through at your own pace, and you can jump, you know, right into the Following if you want as level one character, or you can play the original story and then transfer over later once you feel more comfortable and, you know, have more abilities and upgrades. So in all, Dying Light the Following is a tremendously good expansion. And, you know, it's so rare, it seems, that we actually get real expansions to games anymore, as opposed to, you know, microtransactions and small pieces of DLC here and there. You know, Techland definitely knocked it out of the park. You know, they basically went to the design process and said, you know, how can we give our fans exactly what they want? And I really think they definitely nailed it with the Following. It's an absolutely fun game. It improves on an even greater zombie game that was Dying Light, and this takes it up to the next level. So I absolutely just recommend this very strongly. If you already have the original Dying Light, and if you haven't played it in a while, 100% pick this up, only $20 worth every penny. If you haven't, if you're new to Dying Light, I would recommend this, but just know going in that it can be very difficult, so don't get too frustrated. And if you are intimidated by the difficulty of the game, don't forget the drop-in, drop-out co-op at any time is a lot of fun to play. And also, there is an asymmetrical multiplayer aspect where anytime you can enable and disable what's called Night Hunter mode, where you can let other players play as a very strong, specialized zombie, and they can invade your world, and you have to, almost like a Dark Souls kind of mentality of invading your world, you have to kill them and defeat them to earn extra points and experience, stuff like that. But again, that stuff can be toggled on and off whenever you want. So yeah, Dying Light the Following, only $19.99 if you already had the original Dying Light, or the Enhanced Edition, $59.99. Comes with all the original Dying Light content and the new Following expansion as well. PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and on PC. Could not recommend this more than I could possibly say. It's a great game. If you love zombie games, this is an absolute must play. And I'll send it back to the crew now. Peace.
All right. Thanks, Patrick, for the review. We're going to have more reviews in the future. I believe we should talk about Gears of War. I think you guys have the game. We could talk about that in the next show. Mm-hmm. Cool with that? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah? I'll always talk about Gears of War, Danny. That game is very near and dear to my heart.
Just talk about it, though?
No, but the review-wise.
Like, review it.
Review it.
It's Gears of War. No, I'm just kidding.
You're being too real right now.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up, guys. Head over to GamertagWarrior.com or play.it/GamerTag and listen to our past episodes and subscribe. We are everywhere. TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, etc. Just find us and subscribe and share it with your friends. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us fanmail@GamertagRadio.com. Anything else, guys? No? Okay. Paris fainted. Patrick fainted. I'm the only one here.
Minecraft.
Virtual reality. Yeah, I am excited for this year. I can't lie. Let's hurry up and get to the summer, man. I want some announcements.
Yeah, big time. All right. Until next time, we're out. Peace. All right, so we're about to finish episode 546, and of course, we're going to be back next week on Monday. But once again, we need your support. Send us your feedback and tell us how we can improve the show. All you have to do is take this short survey and tell us a little bit about yourself. Also, tell us how you listen to the podcast in general and everything. That will help us big time. Is it through Spotify, iTunes, computer, mobile, etc.? So look, take this short 3-minute survey at playitsurvey.com. That's playitsurvey.com. The better we know you, the better the show can be. So, you know, we love hearing from our listeners worldwide. Make sure to take this short survey to improve the show. That's playitsurvey.com. That's playitsurvey.com. And we'll see you next week, Monday. Peace.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.